The end is near. The end is near. I was down in the deep south with one of my priest friends, visiting him a couple years back, and we were heading to breakfast, and there was a guy in the corner announcing his message, announcing the message that the end is near. And as we were walking by him, he said, "Brothers, do you want me to tell you about the end times?" My buddy just said, "Nah, man, we're going to get some pancakes." So he gave me, on the way to the cafe, a little orientation of religion in the South. He said, "While you're here, more than likely, a couple people are going to ask you this one question when they find out you're a Catholic priest. And here's the best answer for it." So sure enough, our waitress is pouring the coffee. She's like, "Are you a minister of some sort?" I say, "Yes, I am. I'm a Catholic priest." She says, "Oh, can I ask you a question?" I said, "You sure can." Sure enough. She said, "So are you saved?" I smiled. I said, "Yes, ma'am. I have been saved. I am being saved. And I hope to be saved." God exists in eternity. We exist in time, in the past, the present, and the future. And so the things of God we experience in time. This is etched into the architecture of our church. Everything back here in the sacristy is meant to represent eternity. We hear in the book of Revelation, God speaks of himself as the Alpha and the Omega. He says, "I am the beginning and the end. I am the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come." And so look at back here. Everything here is meant to represent eternity. On this one side on the wall, you see the A with the cross through it. That's the Alpha, that God is the beginning. The Omega on this side, the mushroom shape, last letter of the alphabet, with the cross through it, that God is the end. He is the one who was, the one who is to come, but also the one who is, represented right here in the center with the tabernacle and the cross over it. And that to see with the eyes of faith, to see with the Catholic mind, is to see all of these things at once, to see eternity in one glance, and not to become focused too much on one that our vision becomes distorted. The Word of God, God's Word exists in eternity, and it has come to us in time. And so in Scripture, you can have a passage from the Bible which speaks to us of something from the past, something that happened, something that is happening now in our own lives right here, and something that will happen as well. The passage that we have from our gospel today is an apocalyptic reading. It speaks of the apocalypse. The word apocalypse simply means revelation. The word literally means the pulling back of the curtain. And that the apocalypse, God's revelation, is something that happened in the past. The apocalypse is something that's happening now. And the apocalypse is something that will happen in the future as well. But the problem that we Christians can have is when we think of the apocalypse and we hear an apocalyptic reading like this, our minds can get tunnel vision and we can become very fixated on just the future one, in which we begin only to see and think of the questions of the end times, to think of the questions of Jesus' second coming. What happens with this, though, is it distorts our mind when we're focusing on one part instead of the whole. Our mind becomes warped, and our hearts, our faith, becomes eroded. It used to be that you would get those group emails. People would get your email address. And then if you were lucky enough to have one of these sort of friends, they would flood you with emails all the time with like 60 other email addresses. Now we have group texts. A couple months ago, I got a group text message from someone, and I made the big mistake of opening it. And it opened to this guy's blog post, who he fashions himself. He's a self-styled Catholic prophet. And in the blog post, he was speaking about his prediction of the end of the world. That he had been reading the signs of the times, and about a year and a half ago, he made the prediction that the end of the world would come in the first week of November in 2020. And I thought, isn't that something? Of all the hundreds of thousands of years in history, God chose and is going to choose to come back to coincide with the United States presidential election. Isn't that something? Well, he was wrong, but this blog post was him updating his prediction. He said, actually, the end of the world was just beginning with that. The real end and the culmination of it is going to come on December 8th, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception of 2021, which means we only have a couple weeks to live, which I got angry reading the email because I'm like, if I only have a couple weeks to live, why did I just waste 15 minutes reading this blog post? People have been doing this for centuries, though. St. Augustine in the 400s, he mocked those who made predictions of the end of the world. He wrote this when the Roman Empire was crumbling, and people were making predictions of the end times. And he mocked them, and he said, I must mock them because they're making a mockery of faith. And they're making a mockery as well of God's word, which says that no one knows the day or the hour. Not no one knows the day or the hour, except for this one guy who was clever and figured it out in the 21st century. No one knows the day or the hour. But God has given us, and he offers us, signs. He speaks of them like the signs of the fig tree in the gospel today. And he gives us these signs to help us prepare so that we're ready to meet our Savior and to face judgment. That each one of us will meet our Savior and we will face judgment. Whether that happens when we're born into eternal life through the passage of death, or whether that happens if we're alive during the second coming. And he gives us these signs. And so what I want to offer to you today is to look at this gospel and to see the signs that God has within this, which speak of the apocalypse, God's revelation existing at once as something that has happened, something that's happening, and something that will happen. First, with the past, the apocalypse is something that has happened already. Where did God reveal himself most fully? He revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who says in our gospel today, Amen. This is the one place in this chapter of Mark where he says Amen, which means truly. When you hear that word in Scripture, your attention should go right to that because Jesus is saying something emphatic and important. And he says, Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. That what he is predicting here, that it will take place in Jesus' own time. that Jesus himself, he begins this chapter of Mark 13 by speaking about the destruction of the temple. The temple is the place of worship. It's the place where the presence of God was. Jesus speaks of himself as the temple that will be torn down and in 3 days will be rebuilt. But the time of tribulations, which lead into our reading, Jesus said to his disciples, in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will be falling from the sky and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. The moon, the sun, the stars. These are the things that the people in ancient days would use to guide them through life. They would use to orient themselves as we would use nowadays a GPS. Drop yourself in a large city today and try and navigate it without a GPS. Good luck. When you would travel, when you would go somewhere, it was the sun, the moon, the stars, which you would use to orient yourself, to guide yourself. Jesus is saying that he is going to give a new sign which will guide us. That our destiny won't be written in the stars, but instead it'll be upon the sign of the cross. And the crucifixion itself. What happened during the time of the crucifixion? There were the 3 hours in which darkness came over the whole earth. The light from the sun was eclipsed. And at the moment of Jesus' death, there was an earthquake which split the veil of the temple. The earth and the heavens shook. The apocalypse, God's great revelation, was the death of Jesus on the cross, that God has revealed himself to us in a moment in history upon the cross. But God reveals himself, the apocalypse is happening now as well. He speaks of gathering all from the four corners of the earth, gathering them to himself as he comes. Where is he doing this? He is doing this through his church. That this is what he sent us out on mission to do, is to gather all people to God himself. And that the grace and the revelation of the cross is something that God reveals to us in a very real way at every Mass. Listen to these words of this paragraph and hear what it echoes. It echoes the words that we say at each Mass at a certain point. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. These echo the words from the book of Revelation that we say at every Mass, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest." And you see those words up by the angels written above the tabernacle. If you were to be alive during the second coming, which will come, and you were to see Jesus descending from the heavens, what would your response to it be? Would you sit there with a dumb look on your face? Huh. I thought he'd be taller than that. Would you sort of just sit down? You know that you're in a good place. You just get a bag of popcorn and you sit down. You just sit back and enjoy the fireworks show that's coming. No, if you saw Jesus coming, if you were there for the second coming, and you see him coming in glory to the triumph of all the heavens, you would fall to your knees. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bend. You would fall to your knees. And after we sing those words of the holy, 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 what do we do at every Mass? We fall to our knees. Because the one sacrifice spoken of in the book of Hebrews, the one offering in forgiveness of sin, the revelation of God comes to us upon the altar, and it comes from eternity, and it enters into time where we come here to receive it. And so God has revealed himself. The apocalypse has happened, and it breaks into time now, present in our own lives. And the apocalypse is something that will come as well. Jesus' second coming will happen. But all of the month of November in the church is a month of memento mori. It's a month in which the church urges us to remember that you will die. The end is very near. Even the youngest of you who are with us, you guys have maybe at max like 90 years left. The rest of us have much less. 30, 20, 50, 5. That compared to eternity is nothing. Time goes by and you know it does so fast. The end is near. We're called to remember our death, but we don't become fixated on it. That you don't become that person who all you think about is the day you're going to die. And then every little pain you get in your back, it's like, oh, I wonder if I have a tumor. Is this going to be it? You become impossible to be around. Instead, you're to remember your death in the full vision of it, that you have already died with Jesus Christ in your baptism. You are called now in the present moment to die to yourself each day so that Jesus can be alive within you. And yes, you will die someday as well. How do you best prepare for that? How are you ready to meet your Savior and face judgment? That if you have lived with Jesus Christ, you've died with him, you have nothing to fear at the moment of judgment. And how you best prepare is to have and to live from a faith in which you believe and you trust in him who has died for you and is with you now, and to come and to worship him. Because Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon. And he's coming here at this Mass upon this altar.